This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Clear, you plan on still opting into your
I'll be here. Whatever makes this team, you know, whatever allows this team to continue to grow and get better and do the things necessary to win and compete at the highest level.
James, you said the ball didn't get to you. Does the coach call plays to try to get the ball to you?
Nice question.
How much more do you think you needed from James Harden? You know, when you look at his points output and whatever.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I think he's been, obviously, I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, yeah, at times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive.
You know, when you combine his abilities, his accolades, all the star teammates that he cycled through in Houston, the forced trades, and then you add in the playoff futility, the disappearing acts, and I ain't talking about Zora Neale Hurston. When you combine the times that when the going gets tough, James Harden gets gone in the playoffs, I don't know that there is a more frustrating, disappointing, and underachieving star in recent memory than James Harden. And what's most frustrating is that we're frustrated with him and for him. I've said this plenty of times, that James Harden is just he's built to be a regular season performer, and we need those. We need somebody to get us through 82 games. I mean, there's something to be said for that. You know what I mean? He does his job. His job is to entertain us during the regular season. But I've said before that the most aggravating thing to me about James Harden is that we want it more for him than he does for himself.
Ooh.
That when he says, I want to win a championship, and you force your way out of Houston to Brooklyn, and then out of Brooklyn to Philly, and then he goes out and shoots two shots in the second half, and really it should be one. That second one shouldn't count. That game was over.
Yeah.
It was really one
down
shot
by
in the
12,
second half.
Down by 12, 90 seconds left in the game. That's when he put it up.
One shot down in the second 12. Half, for all intents and purposes. Yeah. Bruh, like, it's one thing to be off. Don't be out of it. Like, yeah. I'd rather go 1-for-18. Pull a John Starks. Pull a Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace. Like, go 2-for-20. Go down swinging.
Stay low
and keep firing, says Biggie Smalls. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, no. Like, you don't go out with a whimper if you're a star player. The worst thing he said last night, because he was so passive-aggressive about his lack of aggression when questioned about it.
Because he's always like that. He's always that.
He said, right. He says, we ran our offense, the ball didn't come back to me. I beg your pardon? You better go get that sumbitch. The ball didn't come back to me. You better go take it. You better demand the ball. I mean, just give him something. You even got to be Houston Harden. Give him something. And that's what makes it so disappointing, because there's a middle ground here. You ain't got to be Luka Doncic, who we'll get to later. You ain't got to be playoff Luka. But just be better than that. Be better than what we saw last night. But, Michael, I don't know that he wants to be better. It feels like he's content with this reputation.
Well, I just think, Mike, first of all, I got to throw an apology out there. And I've thought about this for a long time. It's been heavy on my heart. I'm going to apologize. Before Brother from Another started, you know, 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, September of 2020. I think I made the comment in August of 2020. I called Anthony Davis a loser. I said, Anthony Davis is a loser. And the more wrong I think guy. About him, like, no, that's wrong. Because at least Anthony
wrong,
Davis.
I said wrong and, guy.
That's right. And, you know, and that makes me, it makes me a jerk. Because Anthony Davis has a problem staying healthy. Who am I to make fun of somebody who wants to be on the court but can't stay healthy? And was in a bad situation for several years in New Orleans and got them to the playoffs twice in many years, two times. Now, Anthony Davis is unlucky. Anthony Davis has some biological thing going on, whatever. It's a physical, I don't know. He just can't play 82. Now, James Harden's the loser. James Harden's a big-time loser. Let me tell you why. He goes out there. He plays. Like he plays a lot. When the regular season games are there, he's usually available. Last night, he played 42 minutes.
Yeah.
He's out there, but he doesn't give enough. He doesn't care enough. He's not invested enough in this, and he's always looking for the exit. He's always looking for a way out of the chaos that he created. Hey, James, the league is only so big, man. It's only so big. I mean, the 6 degrees of James Harden, everybody done played with him already. Everybody got a scouting report on him. So, yeah, you know, Chris Paul and Dwight Howard and Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and now he's the guy. I don't know if he's looking for an exit. This is really a stare-down contest. Who's going to leave here first? This town ain't big enough for both of us, player. So you may have to go. For him to have the arrogance and just the contentment after a game like that to say, oh, I'll be here. Only because they're trapped. They're trapped.
Yeah. He has that player
by James
option.
Harden. And here's the other thing. I just got to say this. That's your boy. That's your boy. That's your boy. You rode for him. You rode for him in Brooklyn.
Go ahead and get your shit off.
Hey, man.
I'll let you go.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Okay. And then at the beginning of this year, hey, who won the trade? You can't win the trade if you don't play. I don't know who won the trade. They both lost.
No, okay, okay, right, okay. It was a lose-lose. Okay, that, you're right. You're right to call me, yes. I was right at the time. Listen, them first three games when Harden got to Brooklyn, them first three games.
What an incredible duo.
Okay, all right. It was on fire the first three games. And I maintain, you cannot win a trade if the main piece doesn't play for you. And they never play for you, rumor has it, depending on which rumor you believe. And I'm talking about Ben Simmons. But this ain't about Ben Simmons, okay? Because lowest of keys, was more effective in a closeout game last year than Harden was last night. Okay?
Because he would give him something.
But hold on. So it's a lose-lose, yes. One problem for another problem. You know, two sides of the same coin is what Harden and Simmons are. But it was just a couple of days ago that you were looking at me like I was crazy for saying, matter-of-factly, not in any way a hot take, the most obvious that Tyrese Maxey is superior to James Harden at this point. You were like, what? Yeah. I'm like, obviously, there's that. I have never been delusional about James Harden. I've never been delusional about James Harden. I have not. I've always been fair. I have given you shit because of your seemingly irrational hatred of James Harden.
Oh, it ain't but irrational. This is why.
I said seemingly. Because I qualified it. I intentionally qualified it. Here's what's ironic. You never liked James Harden from an aesthetic standpoint. You hated the way he played. Well, he can't play like that no more. He can't take nobody in isolation and blow by him and draw fouls. So the way he played, you ain't got to worry about that no more. Therein lies the problem. The other part is, again, going back to the regular season, when he got to Brooklyn from Houston, he did put up MVP numbers in the regular season. And then he got hurt. And had he been healthy, had he been a healthy player in the playoffs, who knows? But that ship has sailed. That's neither here nor there. There is no arguing what he is and what he isn't in the postseason. And I have never said that he was anything other than this in the postseason. Michael, I want to be clear on this. There has been Simmons There is Ben Simmons, the, excuse me, not Ben Simmons. There is James Harden.
James
the
Harden.
The person. The person. And there is James Harden, the regular season player. I'm talking about James Harden, the playoff performer, when I say this. Not personal. Going back to your hatred. Not personal. I'm not talking about the regular season player. I'm talking about the playoff performer. James Harden, the playoff performer, ain't shit, ain't never been shit, ain't never going to be shit. Just wanted to be clear on exactly what I was talking about. That's what he is.
Hey, and think about this, Mike. There's so many interesting layers to this, as people have pointed out on Twitter. But how about this one? Joel Embiid said last night, and with that clip we played off the top, yeah, he said he's not Houston James Harden anymore. He's not that anymore. But even worse, than that.
Something coming from Embiid.
He's not even. So y'all traded a lot. Y'all traded an all-star, some draft picks, some role players for that guy who's not even what he's supposed to be. But even worse than that, even more damning than that from Embiid. Embiid said, you know what? We need a dude like PJ Tucker. What? Like, y'all got everything in. Y'all went all in. James Harden, we'll get James Harden. And Daryl Morey, he going to get some of the smoke too. And we just not going to settle for any trade. If Ben Simmons needs to stay here all year, if he needs to stay for a couple years, he's got time on his contract. We not going to lower
why
ourselves.
Why didn't he stick to his guns?
Harden.
Wouldn't it have made
the deal
off
with Sacramento?
Or how about not make a deal at all? Like, wouldn't they have been better off, given what James Harden gave them, wouldn't they have been better off just squatting on Simmons all year and running out Seth Curry and Andre Drummond and keeping those first round picks?
Yes, they would have. They would have been better with the team they had.
As Morey always said, and even in reports always suggested, that this could stretch into the offseason. Man, they would have been so much better off bringing Simmons with him all year.
He's so unreliable. He's just not reliable. He's not a guy you can count on.
The problem is he is reliable and he can be counted on to do exactly what he did last night.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Well,
he's reliable in the worst kind of way. He will reliably not show up.
Sometimes good matches. Like we've romanticized this sometimes in relationships. Like, ooh, how did these people find each other? It's just like, it was just fate. Shout out Bob Dylan. It was a simple twist of fate. No. Sometimes people find each other because they're wired the same. So James Harden, he didn't want to play for the young coach in Houston. Didn't want to play for him. James Harden didn't want to play for Steve Nash and with those guys in Brooklyn. James Harden doesn't want to play for Doc Rivers in Philly. You know who he wants to play for? Mike D'Antoni, another loser, another guy who's never won nothing. What'd you say? He ain't never been. This is about his coaching record. He ain't in the finals. He ain't never been it. He never will be it. So those two, go ahead, Philly. Go ahead. Cut bait. Fire Doc Rivers. Bring in Mike D'Antoni. To disappoint.
Doc is already coming back, and Harden said it himself, I'll be back next year. I mean, listen, in a perfect world, he would opt out, and it would be just sunken cost. The whole experiment would be sunken cost. Yeah, they traded Simmons. Yeah, they traded the picks. Yeah, they traded Curry and Drummond. They ain't coming back. Harden, in a perfect world, would opt out or not opt into his player option for $47 million, test free agency and go on his merry way, and the Sixers just pick up the pieces. They could do bad all by themselves. If he opts into that $47 million, which he's likely to do, then you run it back one more year and you hope and pray that he decides to focus on his body this offseason, reinvents himself, and he's motivated next year in a contract year with his max on the horizon. That's probably the most realistic best option if you're Philly. The last thing they should ever consider doing is acquiescing to him in any way, shape, or form in the form of personnel or coaches and giving him a 4 or 5 year maximum salary contract in excess of $200 million. Hell no. Not in a million years. Should they be even thinking about that? And if you're Daryl Morey and you're going to ownership talking about reinvesting in James Harden, then you should be fired on the spot.
You know what? Here's the other thing. James Harden is worse than Ben Simmons. Playoff performance to playoff performance, Harden's just worse. Why?
Because you expect better.
But right, he was billed as
because Harden supposedly is a shooter.
It's false advertising.
Harden is a shooter.
False advertising.
Ben Simmons ain't never been a shooter.
Right.
You know?
And they talked about it. And they talked about it during the season. They talked about it during that season, during the 2020-21 season. Ben Simmons, with the back and forth with Doc Rivers, because there's always a back and forth with Doc Rivers. I'm sure we'll talk about that with the Philadelphia media. And he defended Simmons saying, hey, he does so much more out there on the court. Am I supposed to put him on the bench? He's an all-star, all-level defender. Yeah. Should be defensive player of the year, on and on.
Yeah. Hey,
but he's not a shooter. He has never been a shooter, volume scorer in his career. James Harden was brought in to make life easier on Joel Embiid. And what he is now, it's like he's a double agent.
He's an albatross.
Okay?
He's an albatross.
He's a double agent. He is working. He says all the right things publicly, but behind the scenes, you know what's happening. You know he's trying to this thing. He's trying to tailor it to suit him. And if he does that, that doesn't help anybody but him.
I just don't see somebody that's consumed. And I hate to do this. I do try to be fair. But there is work that he has put in to get to this point in his career. You don't get to be as good as he's been. And at one point, as dependable as he was, especially during the regular season, just when it comes to playing and playing at a high level, you don't get to be one of the 75 greatest players of all time, which doesn't sound great rolling off my tongue on a day like today. But nonetheless,
right.
You don't get these accolades without working at your craft. But it just doesn't seem like it consumes him for all the drama, all the trouble, all the transactions that are connected to James Harden, whether it's free agents or trades to bring people to Houston, whether it's throwing a tantrum to get out of Houston, to get to Brooklyn, get out of Brooklyn to Philly. He carries himself and talks like somebody who wants to win a championship, but plays like somebody who doesn't give two shits.
Right. Joel Embiid said, we need P.J. Tucker.
Well, no, that was a different context. It was a different context.
I know. It's just hilarious. It's hilarious to me, though. It's hilarious. He's right. I understand exactly what he's saying. He gave context to it. He said, they've had, no offense to the guys they have on the roster. They've had tough guys before.
But P.J. Tucker will make his presence felt. Like, nobody, James Harden, is great for selling jerseys. That's great for headlines. But P.J. Tucker would have given you more at both ends.
I like P.J.
Than James Harden did. No, I know you
but
do.
No, I know I like
you
do. Him.
But even though it was a different context, it's still applicable to this conversation. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah,
it's still applicable. Guys that care.
And the wild thing is, man, you think about Philadelphia, what you don't want to be, because I think this is the fourth time in the last 5 years, if I'm not mistaken, they've lost in the second round. They haven't been able to get beyond the second round. Fourth time in the last 5 years. But what they don't want to be when this thing is over, you don't want to look back and be what Golden State was before, this championship run. And what Golden State was a place you could look at and like, man, he used to play for the Warriors too? Ooh-wee. They used to have Chris Webber, and they had Tim Hardaway. And they had Bernard King and my dog, World Be Free. They had all those players, but they never won anything. Philadelphia, with Joel Embiid, has had Jimmy Butler. Philadelphia has had Ben Simmons. I know that doesn't sound like a lot right now, but they've had some guys.
I get your point.
They've had some guys come through there now.
Nothing to show for it.
You'll be able to say, we had James Harden, because if they have any sense, if it's up to them, there's no way I'm extending him. Like if
can't, no, it can't.
If he it opts cannot. In, if he opts in, cannot. He opts in, fine.
Right.
He opts
one,
out.
One more year. And that's not the worst thing. You run it back next
if he opts
year.
Out, don't come looking over here.
Oh no.
I let him go.
I
let him go.
I don't think he's the type of dude to take less. And if he does take less, not much less, not significantly less, not enough for them to bring in other pieces in free agency. Like, he ain't taking a discount, you know? I mean, if he opts in for 1 year and you running back for 1 year and maybe with a full off season in the training camp and, you know, maybe he's motivated in a way that he otherwise has not illustrated himself to be, one more year of it isn't the worst thing. Five more? Nah, no way. No way in hell.
But you know what they could do?
After this break, let's talk about the opposite extreme. Go ahead. Last word, go ahead.
But I don't know how the salaries or the salary cap would allow this, but James Harden's due about, what, $46, $47 million?
47. Player option for 47 next year. 47.
I know another guy. I know another guy who's got a $47 million option.
Who,
too.
Russ? Hey. Who, Russ?
Thank you, Ray. Russ. Bring in Russ. Bring in Russ. Russ to Philly.
I wish there were a team, all Albatross contract team. Let's take Russ, Kyrie, and James Harden and put them all on the same team, just for contractual reasons. But here's the problem. Russ actually does want to play. Yeah. That's the difference between those three guys.
Loser. Period.
I think worse than that is indifferent.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
I like when people just talk to me. Gets me going. It's fun, man. It's basketball. There's going to be a lot of trash talking, and I like it. It's fun for me. It's competitive basketball, and I like it. So it's fun for me.
You guys haven't won in Phoenix since 2019, and you just lost there by 30 points. What gives you hope or optimism that you guys can win Game 7?
Just because of this team, I know the guys, the coaching staff. Just because of this team, you know, we have opportunity. For me, this team is special, and these are great guys, and we play hard, and we help each other. So that's what gives me hope.
I'll answer the question for Luka, because they got Luka.
So they got me.
That's what gives them. They got me.
That's
they
the
got
real
me.
Answer.
Because I'm on this team. So speaking of trash talk. You and I talk
have you
a
seen
lot
my
of trash.
Tics?
We just are you familiar with my work? We talk a lot of trash. Yeah. We were talking about your hatred of Harden. And admittedly, and I've admitted this, you know, I love the Suns basketball operation. From James Jones to Monty Williams, Chris Paul, Devin Booker on down. I love them. But I have adopted every team that the Suns have faced. Just to troll you.
Yeah.
Not to mention it was, my hometown New Orleans Pelicans. So just all fun and games. But all jokes aside, I'm not doing this. I've told you when I'm intentionally being contrarian. Just to needle you. That's not what this is, what I'm saying right now. All jokes aside, in all seriousness, Game 7, give me that guy. Give me that guy. Because much like the precocious, prodigious, remember when we were young? I don't know if people still say this, because now we're old, and I don't really say it like talking about it. Remember when you were young, and the old folks would look at a child and be like, oh, he been here before. Oh, she been here before. Right. You know, like as in her spirit, like they reincarnated, as in their spirit is passed down. Like it's their body is inhabited by a spirit that's, you know, lived the previous life, right? Luka Doncic been here before. Like the playoffs, for somebody to be as dominant in the playoffs as he has been from the beginning. You want to talk about bringing up old stuff. I remember when you tried to downplay at that famous COVID photo shoot that we had. That infamous COVID photo shoot. of the buzzer beater he hit against the Clippers in a series they eventually lost. You were like, what's the big
deal?
In
the bubble.
Why y'all making a big deal? In the bubble, why y'all making a big deal?
What was it,
because
game
you
four?
Knew, because you knew that we were witnessing the birth of something special. And that's just what Luka is in the playoffs. Just so, in case you weren't aware, I'm sure you know. In 22 games, 32 and a half points, 9.3 rebounds, and 8.5 assists in 22 playoff games over four series now. Now, that's better than anybody in history. I know it's only 22 games, but on the flip side, you could say, well, usually people don't start playing in the playoffs as if they've been here before. So give me that guy in game seven. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, it's not – I'll go big picture, then I'll go specific. Look, it's not unusual for an eventual champion to go through some stuff in the first two rounds of the playoffs without the Moses Malone fo-fo-fo, or without Shaq and Kobe winning every playoff game except one during one of their championship runs. Okay, during that three-peat. Okay. It's not always dominant. Sometimes you win a championship, right, and people, every series you have, people push you. That being said, I'm not feeling great about the Phoenix Suns right now. I'm not feeling great. Now, I think they're a better team. I do think they're a better team than the Dallas Mavericks, but the Mavericks right now got the best player in the series. Suns have the best, like, overall. I like what they're doing, and I like their, as you said, I like their operation, and I like how they've just been mowing teams down all year long. But, man, they have, like, they weren't really in game six. Like, if they, you know, lose game six by a bucket, lose game six by six, it's a competitive game all the way through it. Like, Dallas controlled that entire game. They made it look easy. And I know Phoenix did the same thing to Dallas in game five. But now in game seven, one game with Luka, with Luka Doncic. I'm like, I always go with the best one. I'm partial to the best player in the series in these situations. And I look at it and objectively, he's the best player in the series.
He's the anti-James Harden. He's the anti-James Harden. He shows up in big moments. This is the first time, by the way, these last 2 years that the Suns have played in a game seven. But you said something a second ago. You said that the Suns are the better team. They're the better team so far in this series when playing in Phoenix. That I'm willing to go that far. Yeah. I don't think the series has shown that they're the better team. And what if I told you, now, granted they had a better regular season record, but what if I told you in 2022, since January, Phoenix has won 37 games, Dallas won 35.
Yeah.
So I don't know that Phoenix is better.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, that's two wins. That still is two at 37. I know you had some math issues yesterday.
I do have
math
issues.
You had some math issues yesterday.
Yes, yes. How many games in a row? Okay. Wait. This is great. Wait. Okay. Pop quiz. Math quiz. Okay. Michael.
Okay.
How many games in a row do the Mavericks need to win now? Do they still need to win two games in a row?
Now?
Do they still need to win two games in a row? Because they
now. Like,
does anybody need to win a game in a row? They both got to win this one. My logic is undeniable. It was 3-2. It's 3-3.
It
they both got to win.
They won.
Ain't no.
Then,
so is anybody in Dallas saying, right now, is anybody in Dallas saying, oh my goodness, you think we can win two in a row right now, guys?
Maybe.
I don't know. We won
they
game
should be.
Six.
They should
can
be
we actually
about it.
Win two in a row?
They think about it.
One game.
Can we beat? And look, especially against this team. This team, the Phoenix team, in general, has been tough to knock down two or three times in a row, regular season and postseason. They're tough.
Yeah.
So Dallas was down 3-2. They won. And if they're fortunate enough, privileged enough to win game seven, that will be two wins in a row at the most critical time of the season. But I'll tell you, I'll tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not sitting here casual like I was against your Pelicans. Like, I knew they were going to beat the Pelicans. I just thought, there's no way the Pelicans are going to beat the Suns. I don't feel that way now against the Mavericks. Can the Mavericks win game seven? Damn right. Sure can. And I would, it's pretty close. Ooh, this is a big, this is a big admission. I can't believe I'm going to say this. It's pretty close to a coin flip. I'm going to call, I'm going to reduce it to that. Game seven, which is a coin flip.
That typically is what it
is. In this situation. You know, but no,
typically, game seven is a coin flip. But, typically.
But, you know, but they're generally not. But they're generally not coin flips. I mean, eventually, like, game seven, like. I mean,
home teams have an advantage, sure, to some extent, you know.
But I guess it all depends on how you view the teams. Now, if you view, it sounds like you do. If you view Dallas and Phoenix as equals, okay, it's fair. That's a coin flip. But in some situations, teams like the superior team will mess around and find itself in a game seven against an inferior team. And then game seven, they win by 30. They win by 35.
That's a good segue. Well, that's a good segue. Let's see if we have it throughout the rest of the playoff bracket, shall we? So, okay. We have two potential road closeout games tonight.
Yes.
Right? We have, home closeout games. I beg your pardon. Two teams going on the road trying to stave off elimination. So, Grizzlies at Warriors, Celtics at Bucks. For those that may have missed it, I'm going to ask you again, but I think I know the answer. Feels like you think both of those series end tonight.
No. I think.
Oh, no.
No. I think one of those series ends tonight. It's been a great story. You've been our team, Memphis. You've been our team. You've been our team. We have learned a lot about the Memphis Grizzlies on the court. We've had Memphis Grizzlies reporters on this show. They've done a lot to bless our program, to make it better. Thank you very much. They will continue to be a part of the show. I'm hopeful they are. But the Memphis Grizzlies, see you later. See you later. Why? Why, Mike? Because they're not as good. They're not as good as the Golden State Warriors, and they're missing their best player. They're missing their best player. It sounds good. Oh, we got this record without Ja Morant. Great, great, great. You're in the fight. You're in a fight for your playoff life, and you ain't got your dog. You ain't got your number one. I know you got some dogs. I know you got some, but you ain't got the number one dog.
How can you default?
I don't care about game five. They're not.
What about game four? What about game four?
Memphis led for 47 minutes.
You didn't say that they split the last two games. You said they're not as good and don't have their best player. The last two games, one, they led for 47 minutes. And in the other one, they led by as many as 55. All that's just Golden State. Like, fooling around?
That's got nothing to do with Memphis? This is what's going to happen. And, you know, I love this. I love what you're saying because it's very similar to what we just saw in the previous series. There's somebody in Minnesota saying the same thing about the Grizzlies. Oh, wait a minute. Like, we blew that lead. We should have beaten them in that game. Hey, you know, we're right there with them, but they lost in six. Ultimately, they lost in six. Why? Because the Grizzlies are better than the Timberwolves, and we're not even thinking about them. When this series is over in six, they lose by 10, lose by a dozen, whatever it is, and they're giving the hugs, we're going to say, all right. It was like Memphis has a bright future, but they're not better. They're not better, and that will be proven tonight. I'm so confident in this. I'm not even trolling. Like, I know this is going to happen. I know. Ooh. Gary,
this is going,
Cheek, I'm giving you some great sound right now.
It's in case you missed it. That's one way of looking at it. This is going back to Memphis. Speaking of great sound, we're going to hear more Whoop That Trick.
Yeah.
But, so wait, now I'm confused about the Eastern Conference Game 6 tonight. I know we went around in circles quite a bit yesterday. So you do forcing a game seven. So wait, you have Boston forcing a game seven, but not winning a game seven.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Why? Tell me again. As I said, now.
Giannis? Giannis?
With Luka, I said, okay, that's the best player in the series. Giannis gets extra, he gets extra points. Champion already, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, in his prime, with everything on the table, I'm just not going to bet against him. I'm not going to bet against him. I've seen what he's done and what the team has done around him. Like Jason Tatum, right there. Jason Tatum has been good this year. He's good. He's good. He's been good this series. Averaging 25, giving you 6-7 rebounds, 4-5 assists in the series. Giannis about 34 points, 12 boards, 7 assists. And it's no shame. When they eventually lose this series to Celtics in 7, when they eventually lose this series, you could walk away saying Jason Tatum is one of the best 15 players in basketball. Without a doubt. And it's no shame. And that's going to happen whether they win or lose. I think they're going to lose it.
You know what you are? But you're that employer. You're that employer that you sit across from them and you say, you look at a resume, you be like, you know what? You got a lot of good qualities, a lot of good references. You interview well, but you just don't have enough experience. Well, give me some damn experience. Somebody got to give me experience. You're going to the, I've seen them do it before. Once upon a time, they didn't do it, Michael.
Okay.
Once upon a time, we had questions about whether the Bucks, this same Bucks group, minus Jrue Holiday, but whether the Bucks and Giannis in particular had what it took to win in the postseason. And then they did it. They can't be beat by upstart Celtics team?
No. But it's not just that. It's not that they can't be beat, because obviously the series is it's going to be a 7-game series, I believe. I think it's going 7. I'm basing it on what I've seen in this series. So they've been close. They've been close in all these games.
Who is they?
But if you're both of them, the teams have been close, trading brilliant flourishes. Both of them, have had situations where I feel like we should have had that one, and it didn't turn out
correct.
But ultimately, when the series is decided, I think the Celtics are going to say, we have the same talent as the Milwaukee Bucks. We're not as disciplined. We're not as quite as disciplined as they are. And they do things better than we. I'm going to tell you why.
Really left a bitter taste in your mouth. Because, they lost their ever-loving mind at the end of game 5. They did.
Mike.
They absolutely did. But that's not indicative of the Celtics' performance this entire series.
Okay.
Remains too close to call. The Bucks may have stolen it. They may have blown their best chance to win it with that meltdown. They may have. And the Bucks may come out and do their thing at home in the Deer District, and all that championship DNA that you talked about may make the difference. But I'm sorry. I see two kids in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown who understand that tonight is an opportunity to be legendary and to get this thing back to Boston. I think both these games
game
go
five.
Seven.
So was
it
game
was.
Five.
Jason Tatum. Just like the Bucks
Jason
blew game
Tatum
4.
Didn't touch the ball. Hey, to be legendary, you got to touch the
I
ball.
I saw it.
Jason
I
Tatum.
I saw it.
Jason Tatum was
thankfully
acting like,
they got
hey.
Another game. Thankfully, they got another
hey,
game.
Hey, and the I, old I, folks, old
the,
folks.
The separation at, that you think exists is not hey. There, Michael. There is not a separation between these two teams.
Let me make
one
my case,
One
day,
separate
let
themselves and move on.
Okay. Before I make my case, I'm going to say this. You mentioned that old folks saying he's been here before. Mm-hmm. The old folks said that in the fourth quarter for Jason Tatum. They said, he's been here before. His name is James Harden. Disappeared in the fourth
Jason
quarter.
Now Jason Tatum is James Harden?
I wanted to get a shout out. All right, but look, really, if you look at the Celtics, three losses in this series, they all have a theme that is not necessarily it's not uncommon, but it's not the formula to win a series in 7 against the world champs who want to tear your face off before they want to give up the throne. They're just going to tear your face off. They're just not going to stop. Listen, here we go. Game 1. The theme of game 1, very simply, is the Celtics weren't ready to play at the Bucks level. I didn't say that. The coach did. That's not my analysis. That's Ime Udoka.
It was obvious.
All right.
It was
obvious. That's the one loss. You lose home court advantage. They set the tone off the jump. Game five, you're not ready to close it down and you collapse. That's another egregious loss. Game three, I'm not going to call it a bad loss. You're a fraction away from sending it in overtime.
Right.
Jason Tatum, four for 19 in game three.
They lost game three by two. They won at Milwaukee in game four. I guess the thing that puzzles me about your prognostication when it comes to this series is it'd be one thing if you said, oh, it's over tonight. They blew it. Milwaukee is not letting it get back to game seven because they're a championship team and they know better than they have to go back to Boston. I guess the thing that is interesting, most interesting, is that you have the Celtics winning on the road in game six, facing elimination, but don't believe that they can win at home in game seven. It's like, so nothing could happen tonight that would change your mind about game seven? We haven't even seen game six? That's interesting. That is interesting.
It's just, hey, I can't tell you. Sometimes I see things that other people don't see, and they come to life. So I've seen it. I've seen the result. They win by 8 points. Seven or eight points tonight.
Like what? No, I'm talking about the thing you see. That's your third eye seeing coming before it happened. What is that? For example,
let's come full circle.
James
Harden. James Harden. I rest my case. James Harden. I told
you. You were just arguing on behalf of James Harden 2 days ago. You were caping up for James Harden.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
I won't sit here and say I wish I didn't wish he was my teammate. Still don't know how we let him go, but you know, I wish I could have gone to battle with him still. But it is what it is. Just gotta keep building and keep trying to reach that goal.
Embiid, you just spoke to him. What was that message, Sam?
That I love him. I'm proud of him. Yes. I still wish I was on his team. I definitely love the Miami Heat, though, man. I'm glad that I'm here, but I got so much respect and love for Joel Embiid.
It was brilliant all series long. He understands that it's just this series, and the challenges only get tougher, from here. But he saw the opportunity that, hey, we have an opportunity to end this tonight. He wasn't going to let this go to seven.
Ironically, the tougher, more blue-collar team, Vincent Goodwill, resided in glitz and glamour Miami as opposed to Philadelphia, led by Jimmy Butler, four straight 30-point road games. He did this for me in the bubble, in that finals run. And now I find myself thinking like this again, like, how much does Jimmy Butler, Vinny, make you recalibrate your rankings when it comes to top players in the NBA?
Recalibrating means that he's not already in that upper echelon for me. He's always been there for me.
He's a
culture setter.
How upper for you, though?
He's not singular superstar as far as, top five guys. Remember we did our rankings a couple years ago, like a year and a half ago? And I told you Jimmy Butler was a top 10 player, and both of y'all looked at me like I was borderline.
No, both of y'all ain't do that. Whoa, that's revisionist history. But that was for effect purposes. Go right ahead, Vinny. Keep cooking.
But I think when you look at the way that he's played throughout these playoffs, his game elevates. Last year was an anomaly where he played poorly and he looked like he was hurt. But usually he raises his game beyond his regular season exploits. And now he's at the point that next to Giannis, and maybe even including Giannis, there's not a guy that's playing better on both ends of the floor in this entire playoff than Jimmy Butler. And we've seen this before. Yeah, we saw it in the bubble. But if you mean to tell me that with home court advantage and Eric Spoelstra pushing the buttons that he's pushing, that you're going to actually bet against the Miami Heat? I know we've long decided that the winner of the Bucks-Celtics series is going to be the team that represents the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. But I don't think that way. And I think the Miami Heat will have something to say about that, especially if this Celtics series with the Bucks goes seven. And you know that the Miami Heat are not afraid of the Milwaukee Bucks as world champions or as anything else. They feel like they have a formula, especially, y'all, if Chris Middleton is at half or 75 or 60%. Like, this is going to be even a greater knockdown, dragout series than what the Celtics are giving them right now.
And Miami has something for the Celtics in the bubble, so they're not afraid of the Celtics either. Let me ask you this, Vinny. What do you think, what's behind the effing Tobias Harris over me? Is it as simple as that he took that personally? Or was that a performative thing, Jimmy Butler ever the showman too, giving you something to talk about before he goes into the locker room?
Yes. You asked if it was one or the other? Yes, because it's both. Because Jimmy Butler is honorary. Because Jimmy Butler remembers every little thing everybody says about him. I'll tell you a personal story. I was in Chicago covering the Bulls, and Jimmy Butler was making the ascension to star superstar. And we were in Golden State. They were practicing. The team was going on some excursion. He wanted to get shots up. I was waiting on the cab, and I hadn't gotten to know him yet. So we were just standing around just shooting it, and he says to me, "Who do you think is better, me, Paul George, or Kawhi Leonard?" Now, Paul George is still in Indiana. Kawhi Leonard hadn't gotten hurt the first time, and I'm on the beat just trying to get to know this dude. I could have lied. I could have lied, y'all.
No, you know what I mean? Keep it a buck.
But I kept it a buck.
But you got to keep it a buck. Yeah.
I kept it a buck. I said, "Jimmy, I think you're really good, but you're not either one of those dudes." So he says to me with the straightest of faces, "I'm going to prove to you that I'm better than them." And that year, I think he blocked Kawhi's shot at the buzzer. He scored another one over PG at the buzzer and let me know about it on the way to the locker room. So if you think that he's not even talking about Tobias Harris there. He's talking about Ben Simmons, because the choice the Philadelphia 76ers made was Ben Simmons over him, because Ben Simmons wasn't comfortable with not having the ball. So that meant by proxy, they were going to give the money to Tobias Harris and not Jimmy Butler. Right. And everybody knew it at the time that was the biggest mistake that the 76ers have made essentially over the past, you know, process era. They had a championship team basically in the palm of their hand, and they gave it away. Serves them right.
It's a mistake, but I'm glad they made it, because Heat culture and Jimmy Butler just go hand in hand. Like, I'm just glad he's in Miami. That's where he belongs. You know, they bring out the best in him. He's the perfect driving force for Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra's group. But let's go back to those Sixers. Where do they go from here? Loaded, open-ended. There's so many ways to take that.
Okay, look, Doc Rivers is the easy fall guy, and I know Daryl Morey said that he's not going to fire him, but everybody wants to come at Doc's head. Everybody wants to say that this is Doc's fault. Did you see his second best player in the 2 years that he was there? He had can't shoot, won't shoot, and then he got can't shoot, won't shoot part two. And James Harden, what was he supposed to do? Now, you know that Daryl Morey loves him some James Harden. He doesn't feel like he can win or compete in any other direction. If I'm Joel Embiid, I am on the phone with my agents at CAA saying I don't care what my contract extension was, because he did re-up recently over the past year or so. He did re-up
like
with
four
them.
Years.
Yeah, and I'm telling them, get me up out of here, because it's always been franchise instability with ownership, in the front office, with the coaching staff, with the roster. He has not known stability since he's been there. You're going to ask him to wait again on James Harden, maybe having a summer where he's not just hanging out with the baby and hanging, but putting the work in. That was an utterly unforgivable performance from James Harden last night. I'm not going to say what the words were that were floating through some of the text message chains that I was rocking with last night. But
you can say him on this show.
No, 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 no. For, No. But you know what that looked like. It looked like the James Harden special. You know what the James Harden special is, y'all? That is, if the series is about to end, let me hurry up and make it happen now. He's not going to help pull the nose up of that airplane. Right. It's going to be 11 turnovers. It's going to be 6 for 24. Or do what he did. He was Casper the Friendly Ghost. He was literally
he gonna do it
nowhere
expeditiously.
To be found. Yes.
He's going to get it over with expeditiously. He ain't going to mess around with it.
You think he...
Mr. Sam, sit the chains by the door. Expeditiously.
Do you think he did it on purpose? All right, that was a terrible game. But do you think it was intentional for him to make a statement like, hey, I can't play in this offense with this coach, or you got the brakes on me. You can't let me be free. Was there anything intentional about such a sorry game and a sorry second half from Harden?
Okay, you tell me this. If it wasn't intentional, what was it? Because James Harden is a guy that can get his shot up, even in his diminished state with his hamstring injury. He's a guy that can always get his shot up. He's got a tight handle. He's left-handed. He can get to the lane and even attempt to draw fouls. How many times did you see him touch paint in the second half yesterday? I would venture to bet y'all he didn't even cross the three-point line on either end of the floor. You know who plays like that? 55-year-olds. Dudes who are playing not even at the Y, but they're playing against some young dudes, and they just trying to break a sweat without breaking their back. That's what James Harden looked like last night. And he has done this repeatedly in all these type of different spots. And y'all got the nerve to sit up somewhere and tell me that James Harden is the best offensive player in the history of basketball when he done acted a fool on three different franchises and got the nerve to have his hand out saying, I want a, you know, $45 million player option next year and then ask for another $200 million? Please.
Let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Let's go to the opposite end. Talk about a dude that wants it, a dude that thrives this time of year, Luka Doncic. How soon? We talked in the past about the unofficial and mythical passing of the best player in the game torch. You know, we know you were very much ahead on Kevin Durant taking that from LeBron James. Giannis has that now. How soon before Luka has that, the way he's performing in these playoffs and in the playoffs in general?
He ain't close, because it's great
to be in the conversation for best players in the game.
When we're saying conversation, how big is the conversation? You know what I mean? Are we saying Kelly Rowland, Nia Long, or are we saying, you know?
Here's what I'm saying. All right, I'll be more specific. He doesn't have an MVP to his credit. I think was he fifth in this year's ballot? I forget what the voting results were. I think he might have been fifth. Okay, so.
Right.
All right, Giannis number one, set him over there, right? Embiid, great player. We blame Harden, we blame Doc. He was hurt, fractured over the bone, gonna need thumb surgery, whatever. But Embiid ain't won nothing, okay? Giannis might be about to go farther than Embiid has ever gone, okay? Jokic, and I know you got thoughts on Jokic as MVP, as back-to-back MVP this year. Great player, he ain't won nothing. Okay, we don't know if and when Durant will reclaim his status as a champion and therefore, by extension, arguably the best player in the NBA. The list goes on and on. Luka, his playoff numbers are historic. If he continues to go deep and win in the postseason where reputations matter, you just lit into James Harden because of all the crap he's done, all the great stuff he's done in the regular season and nothing to show for it in the postseason. If Luka is playing like this in the postseason, you can't dismiss out of hand the notion that Luka Doncic very soon could be considered the best player in the NBA.
Yes, I can dismiss it on his resume. Yes, I can dismiss it. Because when I
was Giannis the best player in the NBA before last year?
I believe it was Kevin Durant. But what Giannis did was make his weaknesses not a weakness anymore. His weaknesses were... Are you going to make your free throws? Are you going to be able to score when defenses load up on you? Luka's weaknesses are a little different. His weaknesses is A, defensively. We know he's not defending. B, who else gets off when you're on the floor? Nobody. He dominates the ball. He gets a lot of assists, but he dominates the ball. And secondly, it's a lot of ISO. He's almost, I won't say James Harden-esque when he doesn't have the ball, but he's not really a helper when he doesn't have the ball. He's not someone that's a threat off of it. He's not cutting. Okay. He's not making himself. And to me,
gotcha.
If we're talking about best player in the game, you've got to do something else beyond being as great as he is. There's a level above it that isn't statistical to me, because I feel like, A, we're in a live ball era. We're in a completely juiced ball era with the way that the rules
sure.
are, the three-point shot and everything else. And that's not to take a dump on his numbers, but it's to place it in proper context so that I'm not going to be seduced by the numbers. You're not going to be Robin Givens blowing in my ear telling me I got an eyelash or something like that, but which is to tell me that Luka Doncic is the best player in the game. That
well, no, but here's where I got to call bullshit on you, because I read everything you write, Vinny Goodwill, and it wasn't that long ago. I think it was after the first two games of this series when you were writing about how the Dallas Mavericks priority one this offseason is to get another star next to Luka. Okay?
Yes.
So how can you – it can't be both things. It can't be they don't have enough stars. You can't write that they don't have enough stars around Luka, and yet here he is in game seven against the best team in the regular season. That's not making him better. If they don't have stars, then by extension, he's making who they have better. However he's doing it, he's lifting the Mavericks. He is elevating the Mavericks in a way that you expect the best players to do. If you're saying you can't be the best player in the league because you're not dominant at both ends, I got no argument there. I got no argument for that. But if we're talking about somebody elevating his teammates, I can't accept that Luka Doncic is not doing that.
Okay, Michael Smith. I see you like to operate on two different tracks here, but I'm gonna break this down. So
I'm just going by what you wrote.
Wait. I'll let you have the floor. I'll let you have the floor.
Let me do shit. It's my show.
It is your show. You're absolutely right. I had to.
But no, go ahead.
That is the pot calling the kettle beige on national TV. You are absolutely right, Michael Smith. No, here's the point. The point is three prongs. One, what the Dallas Mavericks have to do as an organization is completely independent from what Luka Doncic as an individual has to do to grow and evolve his game. Yes, they need to have another superstar next to him who can function with Luka and without Luka, and there aren't that many players that can actually fill that bill. And thirdly, you're talking about him playing against the Phoenix Suns and helping lift them. Have you seen Chris Paul the last three games? Have you seen his movies? Chris Paul is doing as much to help the Dallas Mavericks lift their game as Luka Doncic is right now, if we keeping it a buck.
So you want to move the goalposts, talk about Chris Paul. So instead of keeping it on Luka, you want to crap on Chris Paul.
He gave you the answer, though.
But then he moved it to Chris Paul.
But then he conveniently went at Chris Paul.
It ain't anything like his answer.
He said Luka's not close to being in that conversation. What the Mavericks
have to do is independent of what Luka has to do individually.
Okay.
And I nodded. But then you said this is just as much about Chris Paul being bad. And I know, because Vinny, you and I talk 24/7. I know how you feel about Chris Paul. So you decided to introduce the Chris Paul factor into this. You love crapping on Chris Paul.
I think Chris Paul is a historic point guard. I think it's one of those things where it's a two-way street. When he has a great game like he did in game two, it's, man, look how great he is as a 36-year-old. Absolutely correct.
No,
and then when
right.
he turns
right.
37 and the slipper falls off of Cinderella, you can't
people
act
like, me
like
quiet.
That we're not seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Keep that same energy. Keep it. Ain't that what Michael Irvin said when he's walking out the courthouse? Keep that same energy. Keep it consistent. Keep that same energy.
Same energy. Right. So, hey. It comes down to this. Game seven, who do you got in game seven? Who do you feel most comfortable with based on the progression of this series, team-wise?
I mean, take into effect that Dallas has won three of the last four games and won them handily. I have a hard time believing that Devin Booker won't be close to Luka's equal in a game seven and that DeAndre Ayton won't do his thing. I still look at Phoenix in sum total as a team that won 64 games. Now, our friend Karin Phillips says, that's what we get for bagging on the Phoenix Suns when they ain't got an extra shot creator. And he's kind of right, but when you build a team around Chris Paul, you can't have but so many shot creators or you will nullify his effect. I do wonder if the Jalen Brunsons and the Maxi Klebers and the Spencer Dinwiddies, if they'll hit those shots on the road, because we saw what happened in game five. It looked a lot like game six in reverse. So I'm going to say that home court is going to hold serve in game seven, whether or not Chris Paul actually shows up or not.
Hey, last thing before we let you go, man, and we could do this. Of course, we could do this all day, but we got somebody standing by. Speaking of being on the road, your next stop is to Golden State, right? You're going. Oh no, you're going to this game seven. You're going to Phoenix for game seven, but you've been in the Bay.
But that ain't gonna be a game seven. There ain't no game seven. And you said that game seven as if they go win tonight and force a game seven. Okay.
Vinny, what you see in that series? Vinny.
All I can say is Steph is shooting 31% from three and Klay is shooting 29% from three. And there are a lot of open looks that they're missing. I'm not saying that Memphis is the better team, because any team that employs Dylan Brooks and lets him go Carlton on a road game where you are up at double digits in the fourth quarter and nobody pulls him cannot be trusted. Sometimes experience beats out stupid when stupid is better.
Great mic drop moment. Love you, Vinny. And I do love you. I was just giving you grief earlier. When you come on, brother, from another, it is your show. This is your, you live here. This is your house. You know where all, you got a key. You know where everything is.
And I didn't vote for Luka for Jokic for MVP. I didn't. I said it.
That's okay. But you don't think he's undeserving, right?
No. He's not Karl Malone.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, shot on the way out. Good one.
Nobody gives out more strays. Just strays. Just everywhere. Everybody can give.
Am I wrong?
Happy birthday, Stevie Wonder. Great shirt, by the way. Thank you.
Great
man.
Shirt.
Happy birthday, Stevie.
Stevie. Fingertips part one, two, and three.
Yes, sir.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Yo, man, I've been getting worked on this topic. and here's the good part, Michael. I'm not going to be here the beginning of next week. So win or lose, you know, you'll just have to text me your trash talk. I won't have to hear
ducking.
This. I'm not ducking. It was pre-planned, but I'm sorry. Okay. I don't care. I'll be out on a limb in my belief of these Memphis Grizzlies. I want to hear more whoop that trick. All right, it is now time. I got confidence in the Grizzlies. What can I say? It is now time for the Axe Effect interview of the week. And who better to discuss the confidence in the Grizzlies going on the road in game six, the Celtics going on the road in game six, and all things playoffs than Jasmine Watkins, who never lacks confidence when it comes to press and send. So I know she is about to come with that real when it comes to these NBA playoffs. Let's start with that. Am I irrational? Am I delusional? Am I tripping and believing that the Grizzlies, even without Ja Morant, can force a game seven back in the grindhouse, back in FedEx Forum?
You are tripping, as usual, Michael. I don't even know what you're saying.
Wait, as usual? Wait a second. 20-second timeout. Where did the as usual part come from?
I like it. Keep that coming.
You don't remember me? We used to work together.
But why the as usual, though? Why the as
usual? You were tripping back then. You were always tripping. So this does not surprise me.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, wow. Continue. Go ahead. Continue.
Oh, this
go
is
ahead,
great. Continue. So tell them why. Tell them why, though. I want to hear the explanation why this is so irrational, because I believe I'm with you. But I want to hear
saying,
you say.
I know. There's no jaw. I understand and blah blah blah. But I have to put my faith in the Warriors. Like, there's not going to be a game seven. I don't know what they have. Warriors at home. No tricks getting whooped tonight.
Oh, okay. No tricks getting whooped. I like. Okay. All right. Let me try this one. On the flip side, I also am confident that the Celtics can not only force a game six by winning on the home court of the defending champions, but win a game seven, which would mean they've won two in a row against the best player in the world. What say you, Jasmine? Am I tripping as usual again?
We back, Michael. We back. I'm with you. I think they got game six, and they're about to win game seven. Marcus Smart, he's going to be back. He had a couple hiccups. He got it again. I have confidence, Jasmine. And that's coming from a Laker fan, too, so that's saying a lot.
Oh, we'll get to them in Jasmine. A second.
A couple of hiccups. This man tried to single-handedly give the game away, and he did. He did down the stretch. I mean, he was a turnover machine. He was the poster boy for a lack of poise and composure when he needed it most. I mean, mistakes, everything.
That is true, but you got to give it to Jrue Holiday. Like, a lot of that was him. He was a pest. So I don't fully blame Marcus Smart. He wasn't helping himself, but a lot of that was Jrue.
If you say you like that, I'm curious about this because, you know, you feel like they can win this game tonight and win a game seven. So when you look at these teams right now, just let's not even project to see where they are right now. It's 3-2, and we got all the stats in the series. Do you look at it and say, yeah, the Celtics are down, but they're the better team ultimately? You think they have more talent and more resolve than the Bucks?
I think the Celtics are the better team, but I think the Bucks have the better player. Like, they have the best player on the court in Giannis. So if the Celtics can play together and Jason Tatum has a really good game, I got to give it to him.
So, story of the day, as you know, in the NBA at least, is another James Harden no-show. And the Sixers now figuring out where they go from here after another playoff disappointment. Harden, of course, cannot back in for $47.5 million. The max is a possibility given Daryl Morey's love affair with him. But Doc Rivers is staying put. Like, just what's your level of confidence that the Sixers will ever get anything, have anything to show for the process? They, have, of course, have Embiid. But given that they're out in the second round once again, will they ever have a championship to show for these various iterations of this core group?
First of all, let me do my Denzel, because I am so glad that Doc Rivers is staying put, because the minute a coach is like, oh, I'm looking or I could be fired, the Lakers try to scoop that up. So I appreciate that.
you didn't want Doc in L.A.?
No, I'm good. I think he can't keep getting away with this. Like, Doc is okay, but he's not this amazing coach. But the Sixers, they're not going to have nice things. I don't see a championship in their future, at least in their immediate future.
So, okay, I'm wondering, though. I know we'll talk about the playoffs, but now I'm intrigued. You don't want Doc in Philly. I mean, Doc in with the Lakers. And I hear that, you know, they've interviewed Kenny Atkinson. They got Phil Jackson involved on the great panel of all these great minds that Jeannie Buss has assembled. Who would you like to see? Like, who would be the perfect candidate to coach your fabulous Lakers?
I kind of like Tyronn Lue. Like, I think he's the best fit right now. But I understand, like, why the Lakers have to check everybody. Like, they have to check all their sources. We cannot go through another year. Look at me saying we can't go through another year like we had this year. I thought we had the talent, albeit old. They should at least have made the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable, Jasmine, with the amount of slander that you're giving these other franchises, given that your team ain't in the best of condition anyway. I mean, it's not like y'all got y'all act together. I mean, you know, like,
no,
we're talking, I mean.
I appreciate all franchises. I gave the C's their love. I just don't see the big deal with Philly. Like, James Harden is never going to get it together in a playoff situation. So what could you expect from that? Danny Green, torn ACL, he's 35. No shade to 35-year-olds, but he's not going to make a great comeback.
I mean, because speaking of shade, I got to be honest. I thought we was friends. It's like, you know, going, it's almost like I'm like the Sixers. I got hit and I haven't recovered. We got to go back to this tripping as usual thing. Almost like, but it's like, it's almost like you're saying that's my brand. That's what you're insinuating.
Is it not?
Oh my God. Oh, oh man.
Okay.
Oh right. Man. Okay. I didn't know what I was walking into. But I guess I should have.
I remember you.
Because you're so quick. You're so quick. Anybody that follows you knows. You're so quick with it. It's like, So I guess, okay. What do you remember?
I remember you in a certain, you know, four-letter workplace. And I sat at a pod near you. And you would just spew off a lot of very hot takes. And a lot of it was incorrect. But I mean, that's your brand. You be tripping. I still love you though.
I love it. I love it. I gotta rethink everything. Wow. Michael, what day is it now? What day is it?
It's so much fun to watch.
No, it's Gang Up on Shelby Day, Michael.
Clearly. I'm telling you. It's fun listening to Jazz and say these things to you. And then your reaction is what's so beautiful. But I'm going to ask you this.
She's so cool with it. Go ahead.
I know, it's cool. Jasmine, your Lakers beat the Heat in the bubble a couple years ago in the finals. Great final. Jimmy Butler went off, but still wasn't enough. That's when Anthony Davis was playing. That was a nice little 1-2 combo. But if you look at the Heat now, do you think the Heat, you know, based on what you've seen, do you think that they are not only the favorite to come out of the East, but could you actually see them getting a chip?
They are my finals pick, yes. I can see them going all the way. Jimmy Butler's on another level. And once, maybe if you get Kyle Lowry back looking decently, I mean, I don't see a team that could beat them, even out West.
Oh, wow.
All right. Hey, Jasmine, this has been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us for the Axe Effect interview of the week. I do. This has been the interview of the year. And I'm gonna go back and get in the lab like James Harden and just figure out why I be tripping. Like I thought my takes were measured. I think I'm one of the more even keel measured commentators out there. Little did I know that I'd be spewing hot takes, many of which are incorrect, quote unquote. Appreciate you keeping it in the buck. As always.
Anytime. Whenever you need a wake-up call, reality check, I'm here for you.
I love that. Listen, I'm sure Michael and everybody associated with this show will be in touch very soon to have you on again in the very near future. It's good to see you, Jasmine.
Thank you, guys.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job, and if you don't, then you should write it, because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. And again this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
It's a results-based business.
It is, but you don't do it every year. Every time you're wrong, should you lose your job? No. So it's the same thing, all right? But listen, if you believe that, then go with it. I know what I did this year, and I feel very good about that. But again, if you believe that, Howard, then you just run with it.
He's a great coach. I love working with him. I feel like I'm learning from him. You know, he's, I think Elton and I and him make a great team, and, you know, we're going to see where this journey takes us, but we feel very good about where it's going to take us, and it's going to be where we have a very good chance to win the title.
We're not the only organization. You know, winning is hard to move on. We had an opportunity last year, didn't get it done. This year was tough. I mean, obviously, with all the injuries and stuff. So the answers are easy. It's hard. We're right there. We've put ourselves in the argument, and that's all you can do. And then you come back and you keep working at it until you get over the mountain. But just because you maybe you want us to or don't, or I think you do, and maybe and the fans definitely do, doesn't mean, okay, it happens.
Brother Keith Pompey is back with us from the Philadelphia Inquirer for his annual visit after the Sixers have disappointed. Fans have left early, booing the team about a star player who won't shoot with the series and the season on the line, as is our annual tradition with Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer. All right, so that's Daryl and Doc we heard from today. Keith, what's your takeaway when it comes to the day after last night's disappointment?
I mean, you know, the takeaway is, you know, is always positivity, right? You know, it's always not as bad as we saw it. The one thing is, you know, they would not answer questions. Daryl wouldn't answer questions in regards to James Harden. You know, the biggest thing is, though, he did say that Doc Rivers was coming back. He assured us that he was coming back. And, you know, I asked a question, you know, what did you see in Doc to make him come back? And that wasn't a knock, like I'm asking him a question like Doc should be fired. I just, you know, you just come out and say, yeah, he's coming back, but you're not explaining why. And he said that he's a great coach and this and that. So that was, to me, the biggest takeaway, because of, you know, Doc is a guy who, let's face it, once James Harden came here, there was a lot of talk that Mike D'Antoni was going to replace Doc if they didn't go far in the playoffs. The Sixers lost in the second round again, and it was that was the question to be asked, what is Doc's future like? And Daryl assured everyone that he was coming back, and, you know, Doc was talking about, you know, the job that he did last night. So, you know, it's one of those things where, to me, that's the story. What is Doc's future, and what is that going to be like with this team?
All right, Keith, for those of us who don't live in Philly, who don't live in Jersey, Delaware, I feel like we need some context here, because Doc, I've known Doc for a long time. I don't think I've seen him this. He was simmering last night. He was simmering with that. Like, he was on edge. And it was almost like, is there an issue between how I know he's about Howard Eskin, I imagine. Is there an issue between those two, or do you think Doc is just fed up with people coming for his head? There's a story behind the story.
I think it's a little bit of the latter. Like, I feel like, I talked to Doc about Howard. Doc kind of likes Howard. You know, Howard likes Doc. You know, Howard asks questions. But I think, like, if you're going to be real, like, Doc Rivers went through a lot this year. I mean, you look at that roster, and I keep telling people, like, man, I felt for Doc. He went to a gunfight with a butter knife from Chick-fil-A, one of them plastic ones that breaks all the time. Right? Like, it was no way in heck that Doc was going to win anything. And I think that we look at it. I mean, honestly, they had three guys on that Miami Heat team that the Sixers would have loved to have, and they would have been starters. One in Tyler Hero, one in Duncan Robinson, who didn't play at all, and the other one was Victor Oladipo, right? So you look at that team and you compare that to the Sixers team, and James Harden just wasn't the guy that they thought they were going to get. And you say to Doc Rivers, like, hey, it's not working out. What are you doing? You know what I mean? You're doing something wrong. And I felt like, you know, it was that way all season. And I felt like people, you know, people didn't give him the credit that he was just due. And I think that when we factor all that stuff in, you look at it, I think that had a lot to do with his reaction. I mean, there was times this year where, you know, people, they would lose a game and people weren't putting into account like how bad the bench was. And they would say, hey, Doc, what did you do wrong? And then Doc would get upset. You understand what I'm saying? So I felt like a lot of people just didn't give this man the credit that he deserved, you know?
And you mentioned those Heat players they love to have. That's to say nothing of the guy that they did have and the one that got away. He reminded him about that, and that was Jimmy Butler, of course. But here's what I'm curious about, like, the juxtaposition. And Embiid, and not just Embiid, I think it was Tobias Harris too. Like, guys didn't hold back last night saying that, hey, we're not tough enough. You know, we weren't aggressive enough. It's like, how do you fix that?
You know what I mean? I don't know if that's – you can't go in the gym and just all of a sudden just get tougher. Can you? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, Jordan and Pippen did it once upon a time. But it's like the juxtaposition between Heat culture and the Sixers' lack of culture was glaring last night, and they all seem to know it, that they just don't have that in here.
I agree 100%. Look, I'm going to give you all an example of this, and this wasn't even this season. It was last season, right? And the Sixers go to Miami, and what they did is Embiid got into it with one of the players. They took Embiid out of his game. Then all of a sudden, they bring Dwight in there, Dwight Howard in there. He's giving these elbows. And then all of a sudden, Dwight gets into it with someone, right? It was like they took the head of the snake out, took the two tough dudes out, and everybody else fell in line. And I saw that, and I'm like, Now, in game three in Philadelphia, it seemed like P.J. Tucker, the Heat were getting blown out, and then P.J. Tucker was trying to get physical with guys, trying to send a message. And I asked guys about that, and they was like, yo, it's not going on here. You know, we're men just like they are. Well, when they went to Miami, all that stuff, like, disappeared, right? The Sixers need to get tougher. Joel Embiid was injured, and it just seemed like they – I'm not saying they were getting bullied, but it was like they were roughing dudes up, and instead of, like, going back at them, they was just going around and doing stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't happening. So they need to get tougher. And that's the biggest problem I think the Sixers had. It's funny. Like, a couple years ago, we used to laugh because the Sixers, at one point, they were the only starting lineup in the NBA that didn't have a dude with a tattoo. And I know people laugh at that. But nowadays, that's like a badge of honor, right? You want to be tatted. They didn't have it. When Brett Brown was the coach of them, it seemed like they were going after nice guys. And sometimes, like, you know, I remember a football coach told me, you got to have some of these grimy guys. You got to have a guy that's going to run the wall for you. And they just didn't have that. And now we're all talking now afterwards, Tobias, Joel, Danny Green, they're all coming out and saying we lacked mental toughness. And so, you know, I saw that last year. I saw that a couple years ago, and that's the problem.
Well, and that's the crazy part. That's the irony here. And I have been, Michael will tell you, I have been as hard on Ben Simmons as anybody outside of Philadelphia can be. But just a couple of weeks ago, you had people on the internet making jokes about Ben Simmons' back surgery saying, oh, he getting a spine. You know what I mean? And it's like, and Ben Simmons was supposed to be the soft one. Ben Simmons was supposed to be the one that lacked mental toughness. And here we are a year later having the same conversation about the Sixers. I mean, I guess I would ask you this. And listen, I can't stand Ben Simmons, his choice in likes on Twitter. But nonetheless, it's like even he's getting in on the act like, see, you know, it ain't just me. How does Philadelphia view not just the Simmons trade, given that Harden was guilty of the same no-show that Simmons was when it comes to shooting? How does the city of Philadelphia, that market, that fan base, how do you, Keith, view that, not just the trade, but even the last year? Ben Simmons falling apart against Atlanta in last year's playoffs, and now Harden doing the same disappearing act.
Yeah, you know, I think it's tough right now. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's hard to say who won the trade. You can't say it, right? Because it was the same thing. I think the thing with Harden is, you know, the thing is everyone was expecting to get Houston Rockets James Harden. They was expecting to get a guy who can close out games, expecting to get a guy who can be the secondary scorer. And the fact that he, like, you know, basically struggled in the second round, aside from game four it was in the fourth quarter, you know, it's a little disheartening to the people in Philadelphia here. You know, it was just like, yo, this is who we got. Now, in regards to it, it's one of those things where I know he was injured early on, so it's kind of like a wait and see. And the fact that Ben Simmons didn't play and he had to have the surgery is kind of like, it takes it away a little bit. Now, if Brooklyn would have went on and Ben would have had a great season after that, then everyone would, like, people would be talking more. But I do think that for this city, there's a lot of people who are looking at James and saying, dude, you weren't, or you didn't perform to the level we expected. Like, we pride ourselves on toughness in Philadelphia. And I think there's a lot of people looking like next year, you're going to have to show us something. Because the one thing is, you look at a guy like TJ McConnell. He was a guy who used to dive on the floor, do everything, an undrafted player. TJ McConnell, when he comes back to Philadelphia, he receives standing ovations. Everybody loves him because he played with that grit and toughness. You can be a great superstar and you can do whatever you can, but if they feel like you don't play with toughness and they feel like you quit on them on the team in the most vital game of the season, then they're going to hate you no matter who you are. So, you know what I mean? I just feel like James still has to prove to people that he can bring it when they really need him to.
You know what, Keith, man, it's almost like you can't make this up. Okay, this actually happened. This actually happened. It was just 2019, right? Where Philadelphia is in a game 7 against the Raptors. The Raptors got Kawhi and Siakam and Kyle Lowry. And the Sixers have Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, and Joel Embiid. So I know Jimmy Butler was putting on a show last night. Effing Tobias Harris over me. Right. Okay. But why? Why is Jimmy Butler, I want to know, like, why isn't Jimmy Butler on the Philadelphia 76ers? It sounds ridiculous that they would even let him walk away.
Yeah, it was one of those things. And, you know, Jimmy was waiting years to say that, right? Y'all know that, right? It was one of those things where he was waiting years to say it. You know, I think, like, you know, Jimmy is that guy who, we all had a friend like Jimmy, right? You know, like, Jimmy was that guy when you were growing up. At first, your mom didn't like him, but then the more that she was around him, she kind of fell in love with him. It was just, he just got that boisterous friend. Like, you know, he
thought he was a bad influence. When he comes into
the yeah, they think he's a bad influence.
But he brings out something in you. I like what he brings out in you. Okay, this is good.
Yeah, he brings that toughness in you, right? But he's that dude, like, Jimmy's the guy that walks in the gym and everybody else will say, hey, what's up? Jimmy, like, yo, what up, MFA? You know, stuff like that. But that's him. I don't think that Brett Brown could deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? It was just like he was upfront and he was honest. Like, even with the media. Like, you in there and all of a sudden you're like, okay, Jimmy about to call me out, man. What am I going to say? I got to have a comeback. That's who he is. But at the same time, he made him better. He made people feel uncomfortable. I think the situation with Ben, and I, you know, this was documented years ago. It was one of those things. Ben wasn't shooting well. Jimmy became the facilitator. They moved Ben off the ball. Right at that particular time, Ben was up for a contract extension. Hey, I don't want to be here. One of those things. So it got to a point whereas Jimmy was the boisterous one. Tobias is the nice guy. They both were playing well. Jimmy was the leader of the team. It got to a point where Jimmy had to go. Just because A, Brett Brown felt like he was disruptive. B, he was moving Ben off the ball. Ben wanted to be the point guard. He was up for a contract extension, right? And then C, you look at Tobias, and Tobias is everything that Jimmy wasn't in regards to, like, being a quiet guy, doing all this other stuff, this and that. But at the end of the day, they messed up because they should have kept that team together.
All right. Well, moving forward then, let's go Harden first. How's this play out? He claims he'll do whatever it takes to put the Sixers in the best position to win. He got the $47.5 million option. The max is out there. I think you said earlier that Morey would not address that today in the press conference. How do you see Harden playing out in terms of the Sixers' commitment to him moving forward?
You know, I think, you know, Harden, if he was smart, he would opt in. Like, give me that money. Take that 47. And then is because I don't think he'll get it elsewhere, that 47. But I think that what's going to happen is I don't think that they're going to be able to justify giving them a max extension. You know, I can see them probably giving them, you know, less money, like say, hey, look, we'll give you anywhere from like 20 to 25, maybe over five and this and that, and you can get the money. But I can see him opting in, taking that salary, but then his extension would be for, you know, less money. I just can't see all that. Now, to me, I can't see James saying, yeah, I want to help this team enough to a point where I'm going to not opt in, but then I'm going to take like 20 or 25 million. I don't see that happening, because I think that would be, you know, hurting him. But I do expect him to take the money, the opt-in, but then after that, take less.
And lastly, I know he just signed not long ago. Any chance Embiid gets restless and says enough of this drama?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, you know, like when Embiid kept saying anyone could be traded, you know, like when you hear a guy say that, and, you know, sometimes you think, and he'll like, you know, they'll deny it and they'll say stuff. But, you know, if you're unhappy and you look at this situation and you see how, like, yes, everyone is saying all the right things, but when you see how this can become Houston East and like Mike D'Antoni comes in, then you have to say to yourself, well, what does this say for me? Like, this is supposed to be my team. And then you look at the roster and you're saying stuff like, wow, PJ Tucker, man, that's a tough guy. And you're saying all these other things and you're hearing like guys like Jimmy Butler saying, I miss playing with my man Joe. And then after a while, you're looking at it like, we have yet to get out of the second round. Yeah, like he can become restless and he can ask to be traded. You know, why not?
Keith Pompey bringing that real from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Hey, look, Eagles right around the corner. It's almost football season. The Birds almost. It's been a great offseason in Philly. So turn the page, right?
Turn the page. Eagles.
Watch the Phillies.
Flyers, man. Yeah. Nah, you know. Phillies.
Yeah. Hockey.
Eagles.
I don't know about hockey.
All right, Keith. Thank you, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
Anytime.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Oh, definitely.
Bravo.
Hey, look, standing. Hey, I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand for this one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm standing for that.
I'm not a big anime guy, but I appreciate the effort and the creativity. And you nailed it the other day. The Chargers nailed it. The Chargers. That's one win. They get one win on their record for their scheduled release video. You nailed it the other day. You said it's all about storytelling. And I didn't realize how seriously these teams and their social media teams were going to take the release of the schedule. I mean, the Detroit Lions one was great.
The Cowboys. Hey, but listen, but they're trying.
What's better than the Cowboys? But everybody tried. Varying degrees. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, really, if you think about it, Mike, if you think about this, and it's great. Like, everybody, I know if you are one of those fans who is going to games, yeah, okay, now you're doing your thing. Okay, you are your own travel agent. Okay, now I know when I'm going to Miami, when I'm going to Kansas City, LA, got it. But ultimately, we all knew this. We knew the opponents.
We knew where they were playing.
It's a matter of slotting.
Yeah. Right.
It's like that whole, you know, you just slot and you got to, okay, here we go. This goes here. This goes here. And so to do this, storytelling really makes something you already knew more interesting. Because if you just release a schedule, how interesting is that?
It's an email.
I guess it is pretty interesting.
It's a spreadsheet.
But I mean, they
made it into something, yeah.
And I think one of the most
What are they going to do next year? What?
They'll take it to the next level. It'll keep going.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those, I think Russell Wilson and Ciara actually made the Broncos schedule. Get that stuff. Get it out of the way.
Oh, you're talking about Seattle in week one? Yeah. I guess. I mean,
you're gonna have to deal with that regardless. Why not deal with it first week of the season? You ain't got to dread it. Yeah. I don't know if you're one of those. I do know that you're one of those people because I'm one of these people too. If I have something coming up,
as my
and I know it's coming
comes
up
to a close today, I've been.
You want to get it out the way?
I'll just, replacement for the Broncos' newest but, summer intern.
I'm a procrastinator.
If I can't get it out of the way, starting a new job. If I can't get it out of the way, though,
I'd show them the ropes.
I'm going to really obsess over it, and it's going to bother me. I'm probably going to lose sleep over it. So
I'd rather have seen a build-up of Russell going back to Seattle. I didn't want to see that week one. I get it. It's before Seattle, we think, starts to suck. So it's like it's still interesting from a Seattle standpoint. But I'd much rather kind of build to that a little bit more. I didn't want that out the way. That's one of the biggest games of the year. And to have that out of the way, like, at the beginning of the year, I wasn't a fan of that. But I get where you're coming from, too. What else stood out to you? That note about the Chiefs was interesting. Doesn't mean a whole lot because that's based off last year. We knew they had a first place schedule, but like, what is it? 9 straight opponents to start the season with winning records.
Right.
I like the note about the Bills having, I think the number is plus 13 days of more rest than their opponents because they're not getting anybody coming off a bye week. And they got some Thursday night games to give them extra rest going against some teams coming off a Sunday game. So they're a favorite. But everybody's ranking the best games of the season. Yeah, the best games usually include the best teams. Like, of course you're going to pick, you know,
exactly.
The Rams and Bills to open. Duh. Yeah, that's one of the best games of the season. So, yeah.
Great game. I like that one.
What else?
Bills-Rams, I'm looking forward to that for obvious reasons. Bucks-Cowboys again. Remember that game last year? You didn't know what Dak was going to bring to the table, and Dak showed out in that game. They lost it, close game, but that was great. I think it'll be great again. And, you know, it's not necessarily a game, but it's an observation, Mike, and I always say this about the Patriots. I may be too close to them, so I may have missed the way the rest of the country views them. I'm shocked the Patriots have 5 primetime games. Like, the Patriots have the type of primetime schedule. It's as if Tom Brady is still
like
there.
Like they're a marquee team.
They're playing on Thanksgiving. They got a couple of Monday night games. They got some Thursday night football games. They got it's a challenge. I think they may have like three or four straight primetime games.
We have some breaking news within the hour that makes me want to look at the Saints schedule again.
Yeah,
because the Saints are not fooling around. We have been talking over the last couple of years about a certain LSU receiver that's a New Orleans native going home to New Orleans. Well, it turned out it wasn't Odell Beckham, at least not yet. It's Jarvis Landry. The Saints have signed Jarvis Landry to a 1-year deal today. And when you look at what this team has done this offseason, on both sides, they just recently signed the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, to play safety, of course, bringing him home to New Orleans. But Jameis coming off the ACL, Andy Dalton as an insurance policy. They drafted Trevor Penning in the first round at left tackle. We know they drafted Chris Olave at wide receiver. Now you add Jarvis Landry with Michael Thomas coming back healthy. Who that? A contender.
Yeah.
A team that knows that it has owned Tom Brady in the regular season. That's who that is. A contending team.
I like it. I like what they're doing. And I said this to you off the air. I would have lost money if you had just asked me before I read this, hey, how many Pro Bowls has Jarvis Landry been to? I'd say, you know, two or three. It's a 5-time Pro Bowler who's really not that old, and he's not really that far beyond his Pro Bowl years. We'll see what happens with the quarterback situation. I think a lot of people in Cleveland, especially last year, were a little disappointed with the play of Baker Mayfield with the injury. But Jarvis Landry is a really good receiver for what they want to do.
He is. Yes. He's tough. He's a leader. They got leadership. A hometown kid, just like with Tyrann Mathieu, somebody for that locker room. That helps Dennis Allen, who's, again, not a rookie coach, but, you know, taking over for Sean Payton. Hey. His transition is that much more seamless with the locker room leadership they've infused. Oh, I forgot Marcus May from New York. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, good real team. Quick. You said you're not going to be here next week, but your phone's going to be on, though, right? Your phone's going to be you're going to be available? Okay. Troll.
I can take the smoke. I'll be here, I think, Thursday. Coming. God willing, the creek don't rise.
Stay
Have
tuned.
Have a good weekend.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.